Dale will come up and read. But before we turn there, I want everybody to turn, grab a Bible or get on your phones or iPads or whatever you have and find 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want us to really focus on that for the next several weeks because we're going to be looking at love. You know, we need to look at how fortunate we really are. First of all, we're going to have a series of lessons, and one of them obviously is going to be about God. But this morning, for the introduction of this lesson, I want you to think about how, I hate to use the word lucky, but you know what I mean, how lucky we are to have a God that loves us so much. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Big verse. If you want to have the very greatest love of all, you should be willing to lay down your life for others. Now that takes a big heart. That takes a lot of love. But before we read our text, I Googled this and I wanted to find out what the definition of love was. I did not go to Webster's this time, but I did Google it. And you can do that. And it has a lot of stories. It has a lot of illustrations when you think about love. But here's something that I found that I was impressed with. Love has nothing to do with what you are expecting to get. Only with what you're expecting to give. And it says, which is everything. Read that one more time. Love has nothing to do with what you're expecting to get, only with what you're expecting to give. And that's everything. The greatest of all love is God. But then look around us this morning. We're missing several that's traveling in different places, but look around us this morning. How lucky we are to have each other. People that love one another. People who care for one another. I hope that you're at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because I want us to look at this text and look at this passage. And I hope that as we read it and we talk about it this morning that you will focus on yourself. Focus on yourself and how I can love even better and stronger. So be finding your Bible while we read this text.
First Corinthians 13, I'll be reading from the New King James. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was as a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
I was talking to someone the other day, and it seemed like it was all negative. The conversation that we were having, it just was negative. And when we got done with one subject, we went to another one. and it was negative as well. So my question is this, and it's kind of what I brought up to this person the other day, or persons the other day. We have to be careful. We have to be very, very careful that we are not the person that is disrespectful and angry, find fault because we become bitter. So what is your attitude? If you had to narrow down your attitude, what would it be? Do you think on a scale from 1 to 10, matter of fact, let's just do that. On a scale 1 to 10, love is what we're looking for. Where are you on that scale? And let's go ahead and factor in everything. Let's factor in God. Let's factor in the church. Let's factor in family, neighbors, and enemies. Yeah, David brought it up this morning in class, and that's one of these sermons that we're going to be looking at, is love for enemies. So let's go ahead and put it all together in one, and 10 being the most love you could have, and 0 being I love nothing or nobody. Where are you at from 1 to 10? Doctor, I won't never get his name right. I know his first name, Carl. His second name looks like Meininger. He's a psychiatrist. He has written this, that love is the medicine for our sick old world. Love is a medicine for our sick old world. If people can learn to give and receive love, they will usually recover from their physical or mental illness. On a scale 1 to 10, where are you when it comes to love? Well, what is love? Dale read for us, and I appreciate it. He asked me this morning before I ever even told him. He said, what do you got for me to read this morning? I think he might have said a book. I said, no, but a chapter. And I want to read this every time during the month of February. So if you're doing the reading in the next 4 weeks, this is it. We're going to read it over and over and over again. And let this be the time that we think about love. But what is love? You know, love's more than a warm and fuzzy feeling. This is not the only passages that we can find in the Bible that deals with love, but we know that we call this the love chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The one I just read in John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Love is more than a warm and fuzzy feeling. It's an action. It's an attitude that we have. It's not wondering what I am going to get. It's wondering what I can give. One thing that impressed me when I first started preaching here a few years ago, besides you wanting me to preach, was David Bryant said something to me one time, or said something about someone. Don't take away this opportunity for me to help you. And that's kind of the attitude that goes along with love, isn't it? That don't take this away from me. I want to help. My attitude is one that I want to show you what a Christian life should be and what we can do in our day-to-day actions. It's not a feeling, but it's a determined will of action. That is love. It's always determined acts of self-giving. Other ideas is love is willing, is joyful desire to put the welfare of others above our own. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much love do you have? Paul said this. Starting with verse 4 of chapter 13. Love is patient. I struggle. I struggle there. So what does that tell me this morning? I've got some work to do. When I think about love and I want to preach on love, and it's a struggle sometimes to get up here and preach because I'm walking all over my own toes. But Paul says it's patient with people. You know, the one thing we want from other people, most of us, young and old alike, we want from people in our lives is that you respond to what I say. We want you to act on it. You know, you can't force people to do things. Oh, we can make our children carry the garbage out, and we can do those things. But you can't force your children or your grandchildren to love. You can show them what love is, and you can love them. And the greatest thing that we can do for the younger people today is to truly love and teach them what that means. But we have to be patient in everything that we do. He goes on there and he says, love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love is not selfish. Love is not easily provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. And what we don't want to do is confuse I love you with I love me. You know, I can't help when I was thinking about this lesson and studying it this week, and especially this morning. I was coming back from the water plant this morning, and I said, I know what love is. Reminded me of Forrest Gump. In that movie, he said, I'm not a very smart man. But I know what love is. Do you really? Do you really know what love is? Because love is, I love you, not I love me or I want this. It's how we show and how we respond and how we react to other people. You know, it's important to have the proper concept of love. What is the thought that we have when we think about it? 1 John 4 and verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in God and God in him. David had a good lesson this morning. It kind of went along with what this lesson is today in the series we're going to be looking at. We talked about living a Christian life, and we talked about a gauge, I guess is what we were talking about, a gauge of how we judge our life. You know, if Nick and I, and we're good friends, but if Nick and I compare ourselves to how good we are to each other, in other words, I'm as good as Nick, so I don't have to worry about trying to be any better than Nick. Because I can sit here, and I'm not going to do it, and I don't know of anything, really. I said that, and I shouldn't have. I can sit here and point all day long at Nick and say, here's where Nick falls short. And Nick, I guarantee you could finish out the day talking about where I fall short. But what have we gained? If Nick and I live our life and we say, I'm only trying to live as good as Nick, or I'm only trying to live as good as Tim, and David brought out this morning, don't let that be the standard. Don't let that be the bar that we live. Let Christ be the bar. And when we look at Christ and we pattern our life after Christ, the bar is set so much higher that we don't have time to look around and say, look at all these other people. But look at that passage. It said, God is love? How much should you love others? Well, let me tell you a little bit about how much God loves us. Not a long lesson this morning. Here's how much God loves us. Number one, He created this earth for us, this world that we live. He loved us so much that He set everything up for us to be happy while on this earth. God loves us so much, even though we, and I say we, man, because we would have eaten the fruit just like they did. We act like we wouldn't, but we would. God loved us so much, even though we eat the fruit. He said, I don't want my people to be lost. So a plan started. I'm going to send my only son to die on the cross so that you can have forgiveness of your sins. So Jesus came. Jesus cried and He prayed, let this cup pass from me. His son did not want to go through the pain and suffering that He was going to go through, but God loved us so much that Jesus went to that cross and He died for our sins. God loves us so much that we're all here today. We have an opportunity to be members of His body, Christ's body. We have an opportunity to come together to worship God that much. So what is the standard? What is the level that we are to love? God made a difference in my life. God give me life, and He made a difference in my life. And that's the goal. 1 John 4 and verse 16 says, God is love. Well, the lessons that we're going to be looking at in the next 5 weeks is going to be this. We're going to start with God. How much we should love God. And the reasoning behind that and how much God loves us, we're going to go there to the home. Because I think that we need more love in our homes. Not just for husband and wife, but children and children back to the parents. I think we need to be parents and we need to be grandparents in the sense that we show our children how to love, but at the same time that we teach them discipline and we teach them about life. And then we're going to look at the love we need to have for our fellow man. Then we're going to talk about the love that we need to have for the church. And then the last one is probably the most difficult one. And that's the love that we need to have for our enemies. Someone brought up lately in here about when someone wrongs us, the first thing we want to do is what? Retaliate. Someone swings, you swinging back. Someone says something to hurt you, we say something right back. It's not long till we're in a slug fest and there's no love at all. It's not long till there's no difference between us and the rest of the world. I don't think that we need to complicate the Christian life. I think we need to find ourselves. We need to live the Christian life, and we need to love and make a difference. I think it was the first year that I was here. I'm not going to ask you to do it today. I am going to encourage you to do it. But I'm going to let you out early, Miss Kay. Find someone today. Find someone today like you did a few years ago that you normally don't talk to. And tell them that you love them. And mean it. Make a difference in people's lives. Simply put, that's what the Christian life is all about. And I'm excited about this series of lessons because it's challenging not only for me, and I hope that it will be for you. It's challenging for us to not only hear what the Bible says about love, but listen, that we change. That we implement these things in our life. And we start right here at this building, then we carry it out everywhere that we go. This morning, are you a Christian? If not, I want to explain to you how you need to, or what you need to do to become a child of God. The Bible says, and God's Word teaches us, that we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's found in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 and John chapter 3 and verse 16 that we've done read this morning. We ought to have a belief that God sent His Son, that He died on the cross for our sins. Are you willing to turn away from your sin? Repent of those sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The Bible teaches us, except we repent, we will all likewise perish. Not only do we have to love, we have to be willing to change. Are you willing this morning? Are you able to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's a confession we have to make. This morning you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've been unfaithful, you need to rededicate your life to God. But at the very least, this morning, let's determine to find what love means in our life. And if you answered the question earlier, where are you on a scale from 1 to 10? What do you got to do to get higher? And let's work in that direction. Why, together we stand in